بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 29th of July in the year 2020 الحمدللہ we moved on to the second night that we're going through the exalted life of our dear and beloved mother Sayyida Safiya bint Huyay radiyallahu anha. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that both her father and her uncle, after spending an entire day with our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they returned with different complexions. And then the unbelievable statement that came from Huyay's lips, that he first sweared by Allah that he was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but then unbelievably said, as long as I live, I will remain an enemy to him. Astaghfirullah. So now, why were they reacting like this? The reason for this utterly bizarre reaction is mentioned in the Quran. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 89 and verse 90, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, أَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعَنَتُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ When they comes to them, that which they should have recognized, they refuse to believe in it. And the curse of Allah is upon the unbelievers. بِئْسَ مَا اشْتَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ أَن يَكْفَرُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بَغْيًا أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِن فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ Miserable is the price for which they have sold their own souls, in that they deny which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down in insolent envy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of His grace should send it to any of His servants He pleases. So it mentions clearly in these two verses why these shaitans didn't believe. First, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, when it came to them and they recognized, they refused to believe because the curse of Allah be upon them. Then He mentions, they sold their own souls. Why? In insolent envy, they're envious that Allah the Almighty of His grace should send it to any of His servants He pleases. There goes, we're Jews. How is it an Arab has got the final prophethood? The Quran is telling you, that is why they recognize, they rejected. And similarly, in another place in the Quran, our exalted Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these misguided souls in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 213, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ And the people of the book, after the clear signs came to them, did not differ amongst themselves except through selfish envy. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, they only differed after the clear guidance came to them because of what? Again He mentions it. Selfish envy. They're envious. He goes, an Arab. Why? Because if you look at all the prophets, Bani Israel, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's son, Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam's son, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, whose name is Israel. And then all the prophets, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the lineage, all the way to Jesus Christ, Bani Israel. They were spoiled. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious took it away from them. That's burned them inside. They, because by God it's Him, but we're going to do nothing but have enmity against them. Was there any good that came from that meeting? Yes. If any good came from this first meeting, it was the impact upon the pure and young heart of our dear and beloved mother, Sayyida Safiya, who was 10 years of age at the time. That was the goodness. father refused to believe after acknowledging. The uncle we're going to discuss now, she impacted her, Safiya radiallahu anha, because why my father rejected after testifying? So now the uncle, what happened to the uncle? The uncle of our beloved mother, Abu Yasir, was the better of the two men. So look how strange. The mother of the believers, her father, he's destined for hell. What about her uncle, Chacha? He was better than the father of Safiya. How do we know? Musa ibn Uqba ibn Kathir, Sira, volume 2, page 197 of the English translation. Imam Zuhri, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Abu Yasir ibn al-Akhtab, following the arrival of Rasulullah in al-Madinah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went to him and heard him speak. He then spoke with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and returned to his people. So stop in the report. So you have to be listening very carefully. He's gone to Rasulullah in al-Madinah. So is this the same meeting as the previous one? No. This is after. He's gone by himself. The uncle has gone by himself to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he spoke to the Prophet about matters, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he returned to his people. He said to his people, oh my people, obey me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now indeed sent you the one whom you have been waiting for. Follow him. Do not oppose him. His brother, Huyay ibn al-Akhtab, who was the leader of the Jews, both being from the Banu al-Nadir, then went and sat listening to Rasulullah again. So think about that. The brother is begging his people. He goes, he is Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, for God's sake, listen to him. His brother, he manages to convince him, let's go again. Let's go to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went. They then returned to his people. Huyay thereupon again unbelievably said, I have now come to you from a man whom I swear I will forever oppose. His brother in shock, Abu Yasir, thereupon said, oh my brother, obey me in this matter and disobey however you like thereafter to whatever I say without penalty. In other words, just listen to me with this. He goes, and whatever I say afterwards, you can reject it. But just listen to this. Huyay said, never. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will never obey you. Though shaitan took possession of him, and his people followed him, because he was their chief. So now this report explains something. The uncle wasn't like the brother. Look how sad that is. You expect the father, if he had embraced Islam, he's guaranteed paradise. Why? Because all the in-laws of the Prophet are guaranteed paradise. It's the uncle. But people listen to their chiefs, not the second in command. Right? So he went to the people, he begged them first. Then he goes to his brother, come, let's go again. Maybe he's still got some doubts. Takes him to Rasulullah in Madina. Now imagine, listening to whatever, listening to, comes by, goes, never. Third plea, please listen to me. He goes, after whatever I say, you can reject it. He goes, no chance. And then who did the people follow? Sadly, the chief. Hafiz ibn Kathir, he went on to say, in his Seerah, volume 2, page 197 of the English translation, as for Abu Yasir, his fate is not known to me. Regarding Huyay ibn al-Akhtab, the father of Sayyidah Safiya radiyallahu, he expressed hatred for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions continued to do so, God damn him, until he was executed, bound before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day the warriors of Banu Qurayza were killed. So he ended up in hell. Think about that. But look what Ibn Kathir said. I don't know what happened to Abu Yasir. So what can we say then? If you got a muhaddith saying, I don't know. We hope that the uncle of our beloved mother, Abu Yasir ibn al-Akhtab, followed what was certainly in his heart and to which he called. We hope the best for him. So it's important to highlight they weren't all the same. So now think about it. The father testified, by Allah is him. Was there a doubt? When the person goes, by Allah is him. Quran Qasmi Lavi say Quran Qasmi Apu Ma'an on the Quran. And then you go, but I don't accept it. Why did you take Qasam for that? And it's going back to the verses of the Quran. Envy. Arab. We have to follow the Arabs. No, we are the chosen ones. That mentality. And look how amazing it is. Are we Arabs? Did we ever think for one moment, because he's not a Pathan, for example, I'm not going to follow him? We haven't got that illness, alhamdulillah. They've got that illness. Think about that. They were spoiled. And then, when the final messenger came, imagine how long they waited for. Eons. Their fathers were probably honorable people. Because we're going to go to Arabia, we don't mind, it's a desert. The final messenger is coming there, we know he's coming there. Imagine thousands of years passed. Waiting, waiting, they die, their sons pass the message on to their sons. They die, pass the message to their grandsons. Eventually he gets to these two men. Listen to your fathers, right? He goes, no, never. I'm going to oppose it. By God, I'm going to oppose it. Who will they really oppose it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine somebody's going to, are you going to take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on? They tried it, imagine. And when we go through the scene, you'll see what this man's going to start doing. But Abu Yasir, we hope that Allah ta'ala, you know, he saw, he believed what he said. The other thing, what does the Quran say about their knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they recognize him like they recognize their own sons. So imagine if you're blessed with a son. If somebody goes, where's his birthmark? Straight away you mention it. Why? Because you know your son. Has he got any unusual marks? You mention it straight away because you know your son. That's how well they knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, there's a report. They even knew Abu Bakr Siddiq. They asked, one of the rabbis said, please lift your shirt. So Abu Bakr Siddiq was very, you know, bashful man. He goes, why should I lift my shirt? He goes, please. And there was a little birthmark or a beauty mark on his next to his stomach. And what did the rabbi say to him? Because you are the most fortunate. You're going to succeed, the messenger. They even knew he's going to succeed, the Prophet. And this is day one of Islam. That's Abu Bakr Siddiq. Did we know that he had a birthmark, you know, a beauty mark? I didn't know that. With all that knowledge, what did they do? Imagine, rejected him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, Abdullah ibn Salam, one of the Jewish rabbis, he embraced Islam. I don't want to sidetrack, but it's worth mentioning. How did he embrace Islam? So he was the most learned rabbi. Mujtahid imam. Mutlaq. So anyway, he sees the Prophet for the first time. What's the first words that come out of his blessed mouth? This is not the face of a liar. So that was the first impression. He goes, because look what his mindset he's got. He's thinking, I'm going to fight. As soon as he sees the Prophet, that's not a liar. And then he quotes the hadith. Because the first thing I heard the Prophet say was, and he mentioned about tahajjud. He goes, spread the salam, afshus salam. And then he goes, and get up at night when people sleep and you will enter paradise in safety. Tirmidhi, sahih hadith. Who narrates that? Abdullah ibn Salam, radiyallahu. So anyway, he arranges a test for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Salam, his rabbi. So in Sahih Bukhari, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've got three questions, O Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you answer them, you are undoubtedly the messenger of Allah. So the Prophet said, go ahead and ask. So imagine, Mujtahid Imam, right? I'm going to ask you questions now. And then he asked these three questions. Why does a child sometimes resemble the mother, sometimes the father? Then he said, what's the first thing that a person of paradise will eat? And what's the first sign of the hour? So the Prophet ﷺ said, sometimes the son resembles the mother and sometimes the daughter resembles the father. It's whose fluid is dominant. Basically, who discharges the sexual fluid first. Abdullah ibn Salam jaw dropped. And he goes, the first thing a person of paradise eats will be the liver of a fish. His jaw drops even more. And he goes, the first sign of the hour is a fire will drive people from the east to the west. He embraces Islam. And he goes, Ya Rasulullah, only I and maybe one or two of the people in the entire world knew the answer to those questions. Because you are Rasulullah. Then look what he said. The Prophet said, he said to the Prophet, he goes, don't tell my people that I've become Muslim. So the Prophet didn't say anything. Why? Because he has to. But anyway, they're waiting for him to come in the synagogue. He's not writing, he's Muslim. Where is he? Then somebody goes, oh, I saw him with Abu Qasim. So a few of the rabbis then headed towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, oh, Abu Qasim, have you seen Abdullah ibn Salam? His name was Hussein. The Prophet changed it to Abdullah ibn Salam. And he says, why? He says, we're just asking. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what do you think if he embraced Islam? No chance. He goes, that's impossible, oh Abu Qasim. He goes, tell me about Abdullah ibn Salam, Hussein. He goes, he's the best of us. He's the most knowledgeable. He's got the best lineage. He goes, we train to him for all our affairs. There's nobody like him amongst us. Abdullah ibn Salam, he's hiding. He comes out. He says, I've become Muslim. Now what do you say? And then the rabbis looked at each other like that. You actually pictured it in your mind's eye. Complete reversal. You know, like turn that disc around. The worst of us, never trusted him. Scum of the earth. Right? So then Abdullah ibn Salam then says, I told you, Ya Rasulullah, they like this. So this rabbi embraced Islam, Abdullah ibn Salam. There was another one called Mukhayrik, radiallahu. He waited till the Battle of Uhud. Imagine. Battle of Uhud, the Prophet on the battlefield. Mukhayrik goes, Rasulullah needs our help. Guess what the Jews said to him? Subhanallah. We don't work on Saturdays. It was Saturday, Sabbath. Because it's Sabbath. So Mukhayrik looks at them. Because think what they were saying. Because Rasulullah is on the battlefield. You're saying we don't do anything on Saturdays. He goes, to hell with you and to hell with Sabbath. He goes into the battlefield and he gets martyred. And then the Sahaba goes, Ya Rasulullah, there's a Jew on the battlefield. And the Prophet said, that was the best of the Jews. Then he smiled. He goes, why are you smiling, Ya Rasulullah? He goes, he's in Firdaus, but he never offered a single prostration. Mukhayrik, radiallahu. So there's good people. But some of them, they were doomed, right? Now think about that. So who was doomed? Huyay, Safiya's father, imagine, the mother of the believers. But they're not all like this. And why have I mentioned Abdullah ibn Salam? Because Umar radiallahu anhu, Imam Qurtubi's tafsir, he asked him. He goes, oh Abdullah ibn Salam, what do you know about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu said, we could doubt our sons, but we cannot doubt Rasulullah. And then Umar kissed him on the forehead. It's true. You know, somebody goes to you, is that your son? Of course, 100%. Are you absolutely 100%? Sure. You probably beat the guy up by saying it, but you just take a look. And then you say, well, it's a possibility, isn't it? Right? And then you go, what are you saying? Right? No, I'm just, don't take it in the wrong way. No point, no. 1% possibility, he could be there. He goes, we haven't got that for Rasulullah. And Umar kissed him. Radiallahu. Right, so that was the great Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu. So now to make a start in the next section. Banu Nadir's treachery and exile. Now we can go to the tribe of Safiya radiallahu. First, when did this incident take place? This exile. In Sahih Bukhari, number 4029, Urwa ibn Zubair rahmatullah alayhi relates, the incident of Banu al-Nadir occurred 3 months after Badr and therefore before Uhud. Banu Nadir were situated 3 miles south of Al-Madinah. So these are important things. When did the Prophet deal with this tribe? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So very easily, it was between Badr and Uhud. It was 3 months after Badr. Where was this tribe? 3 miles south of Al-Madinah. And we can see Mount Ubudna. That was their tribe. Imagine, Banu al-Nadir. So what happened to them? In Ma'rif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 508 of the New English Translation, Mawlana Manzoor Nu'mani rahmatullah alayhi said, the Banu Nadir and Banu Qurayza were two prominent Jewish tribes of Al-Madinah. They had covenanted with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they would not fight with him and will also not aid his enemies. Refer to Fath al-Bari. However, both of them violated their assurances. So let's break this down. So what did this sheikh say? He said that these were the two powerful Jewish tribes in Medina. Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayza. They had given their word, treaty, that we will not oppose, raise an army against you, neither do we need to come to help you, basically. Both of them violated that. Both these tribes. Then the sheikh said, the Banu Nadir, they were incited by the idolaters of Makkah to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through treachery with 3 rabbis hiding daggers to strike him, with the pretense of being interested in Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disclosed to his beloved their conspiracy. Refer to Abu Dawood in his Sunan 2-139, Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf 5-359, Fath al-Bari 7-331. So think about it. So who's the chief of that tribe? Huyay. Who's stirring him on after Badr? Unbelieving Quraysh. You better do something. If you're not, we're going to deal with you. So what does this shaitan, what was his plan? We'll entice Abu Qasim under the pretext that we're interested in Islam. So what happened? First, there was a number game. 20 of our scholars and 20 of yours. Eventually, it went down to 3. But those 3 rabbis hid daggers, imagine. Because when Abu Qasim gets close enough, strike him. So what happened? When Rasulullah was walking towards them, revelation. Then, this conspiracy was exposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one reason why the Prophet was now going to deal with them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was a second reason, but I'll mention that tomorrow. So note, they're at war with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala is coming to the defense of his beloved. And who is doing it? Safiya's father. Think about that. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من كل سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصل الحق